The book of Hosea we're looking at today. It's one of the minor prophets. It's one of the smaller books. It's not one you hear preached out of a lot because honestly, it's a really hard message. It comes from a time in the life of the people of God when their hearts were far from Him. In fact, their hearts were so far from Him individually and collectively that God's word to His people at the time was, "You are unfaithful. You're just unfaithful to me." Hosea chapter 1, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Bera. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said, "Go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." Man, what a way to start a message, huh? So the reason I was actually excited to get to today's topic, today's idea from the book of Hosea, is because there's a prayer strategy that's introduced through the book of Hosea that I've actually used a ton with people. I've prayed the prayer of Hosea chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. I've prayed that prayer strategy with a lot of people. I think people have probably used that prayer strategy to pray for me at various times in the past. And I want to invite you into a couple of questions before we go too far. So for one, is there anyone in your life, is there anyone for whom your heart breaks to see fall in love with Jesus? Is there anyone that you just long to see find what you have found in Jesus? Is there anyone in your life? Is there anyone in your life that you just don't want to go to heaven without? Anyone in your life that when I raise this question, a face pops into your mind or a name comes up? Some of you may say, "You're talking about my son." Maybe you say, "You're talking about the person I sleep next to every night." Someone who I long to see find what I have found in Jesus. Let me ask you this one. Do you remember what your life was like apart from God? Because honestly, if you forget what your life was like apart from God, it's hard to have compassion for the people you love, especially when it goes on too long, you know? When they're too far gone for far too long, it's hard to keep having compassion unless you can remember what your life was like before you came to Jesus. Now, I don't want to let anybody off the hook because if you were like me and you were raised in a Christian home and you don't remember a time when you didn't know Jesus, right, Katie? I mean, you just don't remember a time when you didn't know Jesus, but you can remember times, I'll just bet you, you can remember times when you were drifting, when you were just sort of out there. Maybe you didn't go as far as some people went, and maybe you kind of congratulated yourself for that. But you knew there was something missing in your heart. You knew there was an emptiness, a loneliness, a longing. And you think about the people that you love and you care for, that you long for, and you just want to help them find what you found in Jesus. We're going to get to a place at the end of Hosea where he just says, "Come, let us return to the Lord. Let us press in, press on to know the Lord." And I want to invite you into that kind of prayer. And so first though, I want to invite you to begin with the end in mind. So the Lord speaks to Hosea the prophet and he begins and he says, look, he says, "I want you to go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her." And that doesn't sound like something God would say. It doesn't sound like the counsel of God. And there's scholars have tried to let God off the hook and say, God didn't so much tell Hosea to go marry a promiscuous woman as much as Hosea maybe came and said, "Lord, I love this woman. I want to marry her." And God said, "Okay, but you got to know she's kind of like the ones I love, who are kind of fickle and kind of wandering and kind of hearts set on whatever the flavor of the day happens to be." I don't know if you've ever had a time in your life when you were just chasing after other things to give you the fulfillment that you were looking for, the distractibility of soul that comes with someone who is always looking for what's next. Always looking for what's next to satisfy my heart. Have you ever found yourself in front of the refrigerator, 2 o'clock in the morning, both doors open, looking there and thinking, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? Psychologists call it specific hungers. I'm hungry for something. I just don't know what. Too many of us live that way in our spiritual lives. We're hungry for something. We just don't know what it is. And so we chase after one thing and then chase after another thing. At some point, the Apostle John called it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And if you're not careful, you can run down enough roads long enough that you can't find your way home. But you're so busy convincing yourself that the journey you're on is valid that you keep telling yourself, I just need a little more. A little more, a little more satisfaction, a little more fulfillment, a little more stuff, a little more accomplishment, a little more relationship, a little more. And every time you get a little more, it reinforces that longing in your heart to the point that Hosea and his wife Gomer, they just live this life. The Lord said to Hosea, so Hosea married his wife named Gomer and she had a son. And the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel. This is Hosea chapter 1, verse 4. The Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel. I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel in that day. I will break Israel's bow. Call his name Jezreel because I'm going to break his bow. I don't know if you've ever existed under a name that you didn't like. I don't know if you've ever had to live with a tag that somebody else put on you, that you didn't want to own, but it's hard. Gomer conceived again, and this time she gave birth to a daughter, and the Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved, for I will no longer show love to Israel that I should at all forgive them. Man, I don't know how as a parent you would hang a name like that on a child. But it almost becomes a prophecy, right? It almost becomes something that you just and it becomes a weight that they live under, that they live into. Now, you may not have a name like that. We pretty much don't really have names like that in our day and in our culture. But honestly, I remember some names that I was called on the bus that I spent years getting out from under. I remember some names that I was called in my family of origin, so often and so convincingly, then I'm probably still getting over it. And then Gomer conceived again, and she gave birth to another son, and the Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people, for you are not my people. And I am not your God. I told you this was a hard message. Times when you just feel alone and distant. I mentioned begin with the end in mind. There's this place, the Apostle Paul talks about this. Let me just read this to you. It's in Ephesians. It says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship. You were foreigners to the covenants of promise. You were without hope and without God in the world. Do you remember what it was like? When you were living to the best of your ability, but you were apart from God. Do you remember what that was like? Separate, alienated, foreigners without hope and without God. But then he says this, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Begin with the end in mind. Begin with the end in mind. The longing heart of God, trust me, for everyone you've ever loved, the longing heart of God for everyone you've ever loved is that they would come to know him as well. The longing heart that you have for people that you love, guess what? God loves them more. I love to say that to parents who are all but giving up on their sons or their daughters, sometimes for what looks on the surface like very good reasons. And to just be able to say to someone whose heart is breaking, God loves him even more than you do. I know you're praying. You're praying your heart out. You're crying your eyes out for the people you love. Guess what? God loves them even more than you do. And that's where this prayer strategy starts, as you begin with the end in mind. Hosea's wife convinced herself that every good thing she had in life came because of what she strived for. She convinced herself that every good thing, every good time, every good scene, every good relationship, every good encounter was because of what she was willing to do for it. She convinced herself that everything she had was transactional. And the Lord says this. This is where the prayer strategy comes. It's Hosea chapter 2, verse 6. You can look it up in your paper copy of the Bible. You can pull it up on your phone or your iPad. If not that, write it down so that you can go find this later, because you may need to pray this prayer for somebody you love. Therefore, I will block her path, Hosea 2, 6. The Lord's saying, I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers but not catch them. She will look for them but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. And the prayer strategy goes like this. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you put a hedge of protection, a hedge of thorns around this one that I love? Would you put a hedge of thorns around this one that I love so that the people who called themselves her friend would be turned away from her? Lord, would you put a hedge of thorns, a hedge of protection around my husband so that the people who have aligned themselves with him, who have drawn him in, who've been like relational magnets for him and drawn his heart away from me, from you, from all that matters, Lord, would you put a hedge of thorns around him, around her, around my son, around my daughter, around this one that I love that I don't want to go to heaven without? Lord, would you put a hedge of thorns around them so that all the distractions would be repelled? I don't know if you've ever planted in your landscape prickly bushes just to keep the kids out of certain things. You ever done that? We do that around here, around the church. I'm not supposed to tell you that, but we do. The places where we don't want you, we put prickly bush. Anyway, but that's what this prayer strategy is about. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you make it so that, you know, that old Dr. Phil quote, how's that working for you? So that person that you love would honestly come to the place where they would say, wait a minute, this isn't working. This isn't working. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase but not catch. She will look but not find. And then she will say, I will go back. I will go back to the one who loved me, because I was better off then than I am now. You know what story that reminds me of? It reminds me of the prodigal son story. You've heard that story, right? I mean, I don't want to be presumptuous, but the prodigal son story is there's a father who has two sons, older son, younger son. The younger son comes to his dad and he says, I want out of here, anywhere but here. I want what's mine. I want what's coming to me. It's only going to come to me after you die, so I wish you were dead, because I want my inheritance now. And even though it broke the father's heart, he gave the boy what he asked for. And sure enough, just like you would imagine, he went off to a foreign country and he wasted it all in riotous living, which is Bible speak for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Turns out, if you're paying, there are lots of people who want to have a good time with you until you can't pay anymore. And you find yourself, predictably, at a low ebb, at rock bottom. And a lot of people say, just from a sort of philosophical position, that you never look up until you hit rock bottom. So Hosea prays this hedge of thorns around the woman that he loves. And he really does love her. He prays this hedge of thorns around her, Lord, that she would chase but not catch, that she would look but not find, so that she would come to her senses and she would say, I will go back. I will go back to my first love, for then I was better off than I am now. And here's what God does with that. Here's what God does with that. In Hosea chapter 2, verse 23, it says, God says, when that day comes, I will plant her for myself in the land, and I will show love to the one I called not my loved one. And I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would it be like? What it would be like if all those things that you had told yourself, those self-identification pieces that you have heard so many times that they've been internalized in your heart. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I'm broken. I'm wounded. I'm not going to get back up. I'm not going to make it. I'm not his and he's not mine. And I've been too far gone for far too long to make my way back to him. But God, on a day of turning, says, I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one who has always heard, not my loved one. Can you imagine? I will say to those called not my people, just like it says in Ephesians there, where it says, but now you who were once far away have been brought near. You were not a people, but now you are the people of God. I will say to those who were called not my people that you are my people, and they will say, you are my God. Man, prayer strategy. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. The people you love, you may have all but given up on a turning point like that. You may have all but despaired that something like that could ever happen. But this prayer strategy, I've prayed it with a lot of people. It's risky because it just might work. It's one of those prayer strategies that when you begin to pray it, you pretty much know things are going to get worse before they get better. It's a prayer strategy. It's a prayer strategy that invites the bottom. So in Hosea chapter 6, there's a come to Jesus moment. In Hosea chapter 6, there's this invitation, and it says, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. You may ask yourself, why doesn't God protect me from these bad things? Why doesn't God shield me from all this terrible stuff? Here's a crazy thought. And it may rock your view of who God is, but maybe God is the one who's been tearing some things away. Maybe God is the one who's been breaking off some old avenues. Maybe God is the one who's grown up that hedge of thorns around you or the one you love. But God, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us, but he's the only one who can heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. Here's the good news. No matter how far gone, for who knows how long, God has always been watching. You remember the story I was telling you, the prodigal son. He got to the place when he ran out of money and he ran out of friends. By the way, those almost always go hand in hand, right? He got to the place when he ran out of money and he ran out of friends when he kind of had this aha moment. And he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And so he gets up and he starts making his way, but his father, who's always been watching and sees from a long way off, he runs to his son. And the boy starts his speech. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father's not even hearing what he's saying. He's saying to the servants, go grab a ring and let's put it on his finger. Go grab a robe and let's put it on his back. Put sandals on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. We're celebrating because this son of mine was dead. Now he's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He's broken us, but he will bind up our wounds. And I love the process that's described here, because it says, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. I love that. After 2 days, he will revive us, which implies to me, you can't revive something that wasn't once alive, right? It implies to me that God still sees something when he sees you. God still sees something, a sign of life, when he looks at the ones you love. He will revive us. After 2 days, he will revive us. It may take a little time, honestly, before your heart even wakes up. It may take a little time before you're even able to receive the idea that your life might could be changed. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us. What if the relationships that you had given up on could be restored? What if the bridges that you thought were burned, and they were rebuilt? He can revive us. He can restore us. He can give us back a place at his table and in his family, a place in your heart, in my heart. God can do those things. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we may live in his presence. In other words, you don't have to keep wondering, am I going to fall back into that old habit again? You don't have to. You don't have to get sucked back in to that old life ever again. You might, but you don't have to. It's not inevitable. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us that we might live in his presence. And then he says this, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. Paul said in one place, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So let me ask you, is there anyone your heart breaks for? Is there anyone your heart longs for to find what you found in Jesus? And honestly, maybe today's message, you know, I'm framing it like it's for someone else, someone not in this room. But you and I both know, this message might be for you. This message might be for you. The person for whom your heart breaks may be sitting right next to you. I don't know if you've ever had a time when you're, you know, looking something up on YouTube or Google or something, and Steph looks over my shoulder and says, what are you reading that for? Oh, it's for someone else, because I don't want to admit where my heart is. Maybe this is for you. Maybe you've all but given up on yourself ever being brought home.